it starts this way. I was very proud of my daughter, Emily. At only 9 years old, she had been carefully saving her allowance all year and trying to earn extra money by doing small jobs around the neighborhood. Emily was determined to save money enough to buy a girl's mountain bike, an item for which she had been longing, and she had been faithfully putting away her money ever since the beginning of the year. How are you doing, honey? I asked after Thanksgiving. I knew she had hoped to have all the money she needed by the end of the year. I have $49, Daddy, she said. I'm not sure if I'm going to make it. Oh, you've worked so hard, I said encouragingly. Keep it up, but you know that you can have your pick from my bicycle collection. Well, thanks, Daddy, but your bikes are so old. I smiled to myself because I knew she was right. As a collector of vintage bicycles, all my girls' bikes were 1950s models. Not the kind a kid would choose today. So when the Christmas season arrived, Emily and I went comparison shopping. And she saw several less expensive bikes for which she thought she'd have to settle. As she left one store, she noticed a Salvation Army volunteer ringing his bell by a big kettle. Can we give something, Daddy? Sorry, Em. I'm all out of change, I replied. Emily continued to work hard all through December, and it seemed that she might make her goal after all. And then suddenly one day she came downstairs to the kitchen and made this announcement to her mother. Mom, she said hesitantly, you know all the money I've been saving? Yes, dear, smiled my wife, Diane. God told me to give it to the poor people. Diane knelt down to Emily's level. That's a very kind thought, sweetheart, but you've been saving all year. Maybe you'd want to give just some of it. Emily shook her head vigorously. God said all. When she saw she was serious, when we saw she was serious, we gave her various suggestions about where she could contribute. But Emily had received specific instructions. And so one cold Sunday morning before Christmas, with little fanfare, she handed her total savings of $58 to a surprised, grateful Salvation Army volunteer. Moved by Emily's selflessness, I suddenly noticed that a local car dealer was collecting used bicycles to refurbish and give to poor children for Christmas. And I realized that if my 9-year-old daughter could give away all of her money, I could certainly give up one bike for my collection. As I picked up a shiny but old-fashioned kid's bike from the line in the garage, it seemed as if a second bicycle in the line took on a glow. Should I give a second bike? No, certainly one would be enough. But as I got to my car, I couldn't shake the feeling that I should donate that second bike as well. And if Emily could follow heavenly instructions, I decided I could too. I turned back and loaded the second bike into the trunk and then took off for the dealership. When I delivered the bikes, the car dealer thanked me and said, you're making two kids very happy. And here are your tickets. Tickets, I asked. He said, yes, for each bike donated, we're giving away one chance to win a brand new men's 21-speed mountain bike from a local bike shop. So here are your tickets for two chances. Why wasn't I surprised when that second ticket won the bike? I can't believe you won, said his wife, Diane. I didn't, I said. It's pretty clear that Emily did. And why wasn't I surprised when the bike dealer happily substituted a gorgeous new girl's mountain bike for the man's bike advertised? Last paragraph of his story says, coincidence? Maybe. But I like to think it was God's way of rewarding a little girl's sacrifice, a sacrifice beyond her years, while giving her dad a lesson in charity and the power of God. So I thought that would be a great way to remind us that Christmas is really all about giving, isn't it? There we go. And that is why we exchange gifts, isn't it? I mean, isn't that the reason why we exchange gifts? We're simply following God's example. Aren't we? God gave what? His only son. And then Jesus came and he gave what? His life. And so, you know, talk about valuable gifts. None more valuable. Yes? Defining it this way, incredible, invaluable expressions of great love, are they not? And we do the same. So that's why we give gifts. Some gifts we give will be very expensive. Yes? Some gifts, not so expensive. But the value of a gift is determined by the how much you spent on it, correct? Oh. No, you're right. The value of a gift is determined by, we say things like the thought, but really it's the heart, isn't it? It's an expression of the heart. And that's what determines the value of a gift. So Christmas is about the greatest gift ever. Would you agree? It in Christ is revealed the heart of God. It's an extravagant, lavish, unconditional love. In fact, in an attempt to communicate the scope of this love, Timothy Keller in his book Prodigal God regards it as a reckless love. And it, by our, in our, certainly God would not describe it as such, but in our attempt to grasp the extent of God's love, it appears reckless. Like, are you sure, God? But because of the lengths that God will go to demonstrate his love, it does at times appear, even this extravagant love appears reckless. The Bible says that God demonstrated the extent of his love like this, in that while we were yet in sin and totally undeserving, Christ died for us. And it goes on to say, for God loves every person in the world so much that he gave his only son, Jesus, not just to be born, not just to be born to us, but to die for us. And whoever believes and receives this gift, this sacrificial gift of love, also receives life everlasting. It's an eternal gift. How amazing is that? So because Christmas is all about the greatest gift ever, Christmas is therefore all about the greatest news ever. Yes? In fact, how is it that the angel, when they said, today, something like today we bring great news, glad tidings and great joy for a few lucky folk, for everybody. You know, when I was thinking about this, about, you know, this is all inclusive. This is such, it's one of the reasons it's for everyone. I was thinking about the day when Karen finally convinced me to marry her. That was really great news, but just for her. Well, I might have it a little bit reversed, but you get the idea that there's a lot of good news around at times. But this is such great news that it's for all people, forever. It is. It's amazing news. So we have this greatest news about the greatest gift. I have a question. How is it that it's still so easy to get caught up in the celebration of such news and this event and miss the essence? How is it? How is it that we get caught up at times . One of the things I'm realizing after all these years, I'm not going to tell you right now how many Christmases I've celebrated. That's almost 60 that I can remember. Every one of them, of course. But I still struggle to wrap my mind around the fact. In fact, John 1:14 says this way, that when in Jesus God became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The reality of Christmas, when I do try to grasp the essence and realize the reality of Christmas is God becoming man. It wasn't like we were all that great of company. Still aren't, apart from Jesus. How was it that Jesus put aside the glories of heaven, from heaven to a humble horse stall? How is it the God of the universe would go to such lengths? I just think there's something about trying to, you know, even though we can't really grasp that, but it's just attempting to just think about the scope. Anyone recognize these words? I'll give you the hint of who wrote these words: Charles Wesley and George Whitefield. See if you recognize these words: Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. We recognizing it? Blessed or pleased as man with man to dwell. Pleased as man. With man to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel. You want to sing that the last line with me? Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Here's singing. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. So the Christmas message, this is what J.I. Packer said. The Christmas message is that there is hope for a ruined humanity. Hope of pardon, hope of peace with God, hope of glory. And so I just want to say it's because of this incredible news of God's great love, Christmas is all about hope. Maybe just take a moment and look to the person and say, there is hope. With the emphasis on is, there is hope. But the real emphasis, of course, is there is hope. Hope. Now, this isn't the kind of hope that maybe hopes for a new Xbox. Or hope for a new bike. We could list a lot of, hey, can I tell you what? Christmas came early to my house. I mean, it came early for Karen yesterday when she got surprised when Josh played Bing Crosby's I'll Be Home for Christmas. And I wished I could cue up the video. Josh had his camera all set up and caught it on video, as you might expect. Karen took me to a furniture store this week and said, would you just pick out one of those recliners there that... So the hard part is I can only talk about it and I don't even have a picture of it. I don't get it delivered for another week or so. But we all, you know, have different things that we're hoping for at different times. And it's not just gifts. We hope certain things happen. I'm hoping that our kids actually are headed north, and some other things I won't mention, but just thinking about the hope that we have that our sins can actually be forgiven. Do you know what I would hope for each of you? Because for most of us, we know that God does forgive, and not just a few or most of or some of our sins, but all of our sins, and completely strikes it away from our account, and is able to separate us from our sin, and yet we find it hard to forgive. I mean, to forget and to really embrace the reality of that, because there is the accuser, there is the enemy that's constantly trying to remind us, and with that, condemn us. And it's so easy, especially when a moment of weakness or a moment of failure, it's so easy to know that our sins are forgiven, and yet still wrestle with that, wrestle with the fact that I did commit. I mean, I can think about stuff I committed years and years ago, and it's like, though I should never go back there, because God doesn't, and if God doesn't, what would be the purpose? If God forgives, then it's forgiven. And so my hope would be that the reality of the complete and total forgiveness of sins would be measured to each one of you this year. Complete and total. That there would never be a hint of condemnation, ever. Or a comparison of each other, that, well, you don't know what I've done or what I haven't done. And we're so easily caught up in that. But that's the hope that we have, that Christmas brings, the hope that not only our sins can be forgiven, but a hope that we can actually have a relationship with God. The God of the universe. A hope that our prayers are actually heard and answered. A hope that our shortcomings and failures can actually be redeemed. Not just forgiven, redeemed. A hope that that which was intended for evil can be reversed, even bring good. A hope that doors that seem locked can be opened. A hope that broken relationships can be mended. There is hope. A hope that even in pain and sorrow, that God can bring comfort and joy. A hope that the same Christ that came as a baby, then was crucified, but following was resurrected, triumphing over sin and death even. A hope that this same Jesus will one day soon return as our coming King. Well, I almost decided not to preach this morning because I felt like that Bob preached the sermon before we started this morning. What a great word, Bob. What a great word. And you covered the whole gamut. So we talked about Christmas being the greatest gift ever, Christmas being the greatest news ever, and with that, the greatest hope ever. But listen to some more incredible news. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." Can you imagine? And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." And he said to me, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." Christmas. Christmas. The reason to celebrate. Yes? So we pray. Oh Lord, thank you for so great a gift. What an example you are to us. Even example Emma was to her dad. Lord, what an example you are to us, to give like you give, to love like you love. Lord, remind us not only of hearing as we remember the great news, but Lord, remind us to share the great news. Lord, this news is for all people, everyone. And Lord, remind us that perhaps the best way to share that is to demonstrate. That's exactly the way you did. You didn't really come. I mean, Jesus did teach us, but he demonstrated. He laid down his life. So Lord, remind us that we do have hope in you. You are the hope of glory. Lord, just thank you for giving us the opportunity to celebrate yet another Christmas together. And we pray this in Jesus' name. So I just want to invite you that I know that you have plans to take off, but if you would like prayer before you leave, you're welcome to come up. Karen and I would like to pray with you. And Bob, did you have something you wanted to? So, you know, you're going to hear this in stereo this morning. As I mentioned, that Bob shared right from the beginning, basically what the Lord had put in my heart. The very next thing very last thing that I wanted to say was that if you've never made room in your heart, and that's really it, if you've never made room in your heart to receive this valuable gift, hey, come and receive a gift. And you don't have to come and have Karen and I pray for you. You can receive it right where you're seated, the gift that God is just waiting to be received. And so do that. What better time of year than Christmas? So let's stand together. And this is the blessing. I wrote down a little bit of a blessing that I wanted to speak on you this morning. Besides the reality of the extent of forgiveness of sins, that because Christmas in so many ways, just like the first Christmas was, a difficult season for many. It really is for so many. But just because, this is the blessing that I would speak upon each one of you, just because things look impossible, just because things might feel uncomfortable, just because things feel discouraging, even hopeless, may you hear the word of the Lord to you and believe that all things are possible with God. May you hear the word of the Lord to you and no longer doubt and no longer give up. There is hope in Jesus. The blessing of hope be upon each of you in Jesus' name. Amen. Merry Christmas, everyone.